Good morning out there in Radio Land. What a day, the glorious day it is to serve our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. This is October the 22nd, 2024. And my, oh my, what a glorious day. What a glorious day. Well, it is Tuesday and it is almost through October. Can you believe it?
Wow. Only a couple more months of this year and it's over.
Just seemed like yesterday it was September.
I know it. It seems like, I mean, I'm well into my second year being a co-host here, and it seems like it's just crazy, dude.
How fast the way goes. You have elevated Tuesdays.
Yeah, right. I don't know about that, but
definitely.
I'm thankful to be here anyway.
We are always thankful to have you, Pastor Josh, and we call you Pastor Josh because Demon Slaying Ninja is already taken. And so is that the shirt? Was that right?
That was on there. That's it. So one of the ones that goes to our church, man, got me that shirt. And so anyway.
Well, happy Pastor Appreciation Month, Pastor Josh.
Well, thank you, brother. Same to you, brother.
And we always appreciate you here at Box 2 Radio and personally. And just thank you for answering that call to pastoring.
Yep.
Almost first full year.
Can
you believe
year?
That?
I know, man. It's wild, man, how quickly it goes by.
But yeah.
It's been wonderful. Even this past Sunday morning was another great day. We had six new people that had never been to Madrid before.
Wow.
So, anyway, and then some of our ones that had been, I don't know if they're still on vacation or what, but had several out. But we had six new ones there. So,
you know, we get a lot of first-timers here at Bethel. The problem is we don't get a lot of second timers.
Yeah, I got you, brother. But anyway, my daughter, she been inviting some of their friends to church and stuff.
Yeah.
So she's pretty excited.
That's awesome.
Because she invited some friends, her friend, then her husband. They got a little girl.
Yeah.
And all three of them come. And so afterwards,
that's wonderful.
Afterwards, she was like, "Dad, I invited somebody to church, and they came."
It's exciting times.
She was excited. So
it is exciting. Yeah, I know. It's time flies by. I thought about this Sunday morning before I would, before I was preaching, and I was looking a date up, and I was looking up a date right before the service, and this Thursday will be 3 years.
Wow.
That I've been here.
Really?
Back as pastor.
My goodness, man.
It's been 3 years.
That don't even seem possible.
No, it hasn't seemed that long at all. So
yeah.
And so we're just it's exciting times in the kingdom.
Yeah.
We had the opportunity and the great honor to go down to the river last night. Bishop Lance was preaching down there in Nortonville. So me and Heather loaded up the kids and headed over there, and great little trip and powerful time in the presence of the Lord.
It's awesome.
And it's always a joy to get to see Pastor Howard, and got to meet a couple of new folks last night, and got to see Brother Lance and his team and his dear brother Mark. And so just, it was a great time, great night last night. Anytime, it's like you just, you get to see family.
You know, that's right.
It's kind of like, and so it is great, and it was an awesome service. And the worship team was on point last night. They were just, you know, leading us. They weren't showing. They were leading us into worship, and you always honor that.
That's awesome.
That's kind of how I felt, you know. That's how I feel a lot about our worship team, is they're not really trying to impress you or put on a show. They're just trying to lead you into worship
and facilitate
the move of the Holy Spirit however possible. And that's what this team was doing excellently last night, just leading us into the presence of the Lord.
That's great.
And Brother Lance, he went up there to preach, and then he literally basically said three sentences, and said, "Hey, I think I'm just going to do an altar call." And
wow.
And he brought the worship team literally right back up and said something for like five more minutes and opened up the altar, and we just stayed there for a long time.
Man, that's amazing.
He didn't even preach remotely last night, and so it was just powerful time in the presence of the Lord.
Yeah.
And so I was very thankful I went last night. And
yeah. I know some of the people from our church went to the Gathering of the Lions conference they had this past weekend in Murfreesboro. Mm-hmm. So they said that was pretty powerful as well.
They said, we had one person that we knew that went down there too.
Yep.
Just really talking about how powerful it was. So the Lord's moving in tremendous ways. And we're just, I mean, there is a major shift in the body of Christ right now.
Amen.
And shifts are invitations. That's really what they are. They're invitations to go deeper. And I said this Sunday morning, I'm tired of walking around the same old mountain. I'm going forward.
Amen.
I'm going
Amen.
Forward.
That's it. That's it.
I'm tired of just walking around chasing my tail.
That's right.
It's time that we go.
That's
and
awesome.
We go and be the body of Christ. And so, and you know, it's time that we surrender it all. That's the one statement Brother Lance got out last night before he opened up the altar. And it was, you know, his one statement he made was one thing can cost you everything.
Wow.
And yep. that's a very true statement.
Yeah.
And we're not talking about, you know, his burden is heavy or it's cumbersome or
right.
whatever. The Lord's just saying, will you give me your all? Like,
yep.
he's not saying, will you earn it? Will he do this? And it's, will you give it your all?
Come on.
Will you lay it all at my feet? Will you surrender it all? And it was just a real heavy moment last night. And, you know, I was starting to think in my own mind, you know, you think about Revelation, you think about the seven churches, most of them just had one thing.
Yep.
But that one thing would have canceled out their candlestick.
That's right.
And
man.
And I really do believe in the body of Christ.
Right.
And this is, I know this is real heavy for the introduction,
That's
but
all right.
I just sense this weighty in my spirit, and is that we are in a season that literally the games of religiosity and the games of traditionalism and the games of man-made philosophies,
yeah,
they are dying.
That's right.
I mean, the ideologies, the religious spirit. Why? Because we don't have time for this nonsense no more. You look at the spiritual warfare that the earth is facing. You look at the condition of the harvest. You look at the condition of the church. You look at what the Lord is trying to get the church to awaken to. And let me tell you something, friend. We are not waiting on God to move. God's waiting on us to move.
Come on.
And everything that is needed for a great awakening, God's already done.
That's right.
It's just,
that's
right. Will the church take it?
Yeah.
Will the church take it?
Yeah.
And I really feel like there's a moment in the church, and I say this, and if you can see it, I'm probably basically trembling in my shoes even when you say this. I think it's a season to where either we as the church, we repent or we're removed.
Amen.
And I don't think that's no, there's, I mean, I think what you're getting ready to see in the house of the Lord and the body of Christ is the greatest distinction between the wheat and the tare you've ever seen.
Come on.
And if you thought COVID did something, you ain't seen nothing until what God's going to do in the house of the Lord, because he will have a perfect bride.
Yeah.
And there is a remnant, and that remnant will begin to shine, and yeah. that remnant will be distinctively different. And there's a separation coming in the body of
right.
Christ. I'm not prophesying doom, gloom, and destroy. I'm prophesying judgment will come to the house of the Lord first.
Yeah.
And we're seeing it.
Amen.
Like, we are seeing it. And
that's right.
As Paul told the Corinth church, you need to repent before God has to judge you.
Yeah.
You judge yourself first.
Right. And I think it's so critical right now that it seems like the ones that are closer to the Lord that you know of are repenting more now than ever before. Because the closer you get to the Lord, as perfect as he is, there's one little flaw you think, oh, Lord, because of why we totally want to be under the impression to know we need to be just like Jesus. And that's why it's so important for us as leaders and us to realize that, hey, there's times that we need to get on the altar too and repent and just say, Lord, if there's anything I'm not doing, if there's anything that I should be doing that I'm not doing, show me.
Yeah.
It's only not doing something we shouldn't do, but it's actually not doing nothing that we shouldn't do.
Yeah.
That we should do. You know, so, I mean, that's what we're called to do. We're called to be the kings and priests of this region and where we're at, because he's called us to be a peculiar people and a royal priesthood.
Yeah.
And that's what we need to walk into.
You know, I think one of the greatest questions, well, I think there's twofold. It's what you were just saying of Paul telling the Corinth church, you need to judge yourself so that
yeah.
God doesn't have to judge you.
Right.
And that's what he told him. He says, you judge yourself so
there
God
you go.
Doesn't have to judge you.
Mm-hmm.
But I think there's a twofold. I think there's a judging ourselves, and then I think there's a real sitting down in our prayer time and asking the Lord, where am I not surrendered at?
Yeah.
What am I still holding on to?
Mm-hmm.
What do I have a death grip on in my life? And last night, the Lord really did show me three things at that altar as I laid there. And you know, they were three things that probably I would have never have thought about.
Wow. Yeah.
But when I started to pray, Lord, whatever it is in my own life that's hindering the move of your spirit, whatever it is And, you know, I prayed about three things last night, really, that the Lord was showing me. And I think as leaders, if we do that, and as men and women of God and as body of Christ, you know, even with the rich young ruler, the one thing he was unwilling to surrender disqualified him from following.
Wow.
Because he would never follow because he was following the other thing.
Yeah.
And so there, I don't know, there's just a lot stirring in the body of Christ. And you know, this is the season that we need to have our ears on.
Mm-hmm.
This may be even the season that we need to be really quiet for a period of time in our prayer closet and just allow the Holy Spirit to speak. And Greg Locke the other day, Brother Joe sent me a sermon, and I listened to it last night on the way home, and it was powerful, because in this sermon, and again, he never said quit doing these things,
right?
Because I think we do, but he was talking about how big everything exploded for them and there, and he said, we can never forget that ministry is for people, never for ourselves.
Well,
it's not to build big ministries. Yeah. Ministries do big things, but the big things are not for the ministry to grow. The big things are so that people can be ministered to.
Right.
And he was saying, maybe the reason the Lord has stopped speaking to you is because you stopped listening. Because you used to get up in the middle of the night and hear his voice.
Yeah.
Now you tell him you'll catch him tomorrow.
Right. Man, pretty good.
And so I don't know. There's just, when we made our step Sunday morning here at Bethel, I see things sometimes I don't see things in the area of, well, let's do this because this looked really cool. Like, I'm in prayer and I say, the Holy Spirit will say, this is what I want.
Yeah.
And I've heard so many people from Sunday morning say, I felt that more than I could imagine. Like, that was the kind of language a lot of people use, is I felt that step more than I thought I would. And we even had one person that wasn't able to be with us, but they were listening via the radio. And they said, I was in tears and I was weeping during that moment because I didn't have to be there to feel it.
Wow.
And so I just feel like if we're obedient to the Holy Spirit right now and listening and have our ears on, I firmly believe that the Lord is about to do something absolutely amazing in and through us.
Amen.
And
Amen.
So I know it's heavy for an intro, but I think it's a heavy moment.
Yeah, and right.
I think it's a very heavy moment that we're in. And this for me, yeah, the election is heavy. This time of the season, this time of the year is always heavy with the holiday that's around us. I'm not trying to get into that debate that morning, but it is heavy. There's a lot of spiritual warfare this time of the year, and there's a lot of things circulating in the spiritual realm. And we must be ready. But let us not be distracted by everything so much that we lose his voice and we lose his heartbeat in this moment. We've got to have his voice. And they don't, as much as I love Pastor Josh Madger, don't need Pastor Josh's voice.
That's right.
They need the voice of the Lord.
Amen.
As much as I love to Pastor Bethel, they don't need my voice. They need the voice of the Lord.
Yeah.
And we've got to be sensitive and willing and obedient to that voice and be willing to hear it. So,
yep.
Sorry. That was a sermon already this morning. That's heavy, but.
That's good, brother.
I just feel like there's a moment. And
that's awesome.
And I'm not going to miss that moment. October 26th, this Saturday night, Chili Cook-Off. It's going to be great. And we have several signed up for the contest. I think we have as many signed up for not in the contest, but bringing their chili closer to when we eat. But we need some more people who thinks you have the best chili. So pride comes before the fall, I'm just telling you. But we need you to come out. If you want to get your chili into the contest, that's at 4 o'clock. It's a free contest. There is prizes given out to mild, medium, and hot, and then there's an overall winner. Josh, do you make chili?
I do not.
Do you like chili?
Yes.
Noodles or no noodles?
Noodles, definitely.
Noodles? Yes. So you like spaghetti. Just kidding.
I knew we would go there.
I don't even chili.
I know you don't. Because actually, I wasn't able to. I helped somebody in Hodgeville yesterday, and we started pretty early, so I wasn't really able to tune in yesterday morning, but Rachel was telling me yesterday afternoon, said, yeah, they got on something about you didn't eat chili and talk about that. So I said, well, that'll prepare me for tomorrow then.
Well, Jason said that he don't trust anybody that don't eat chili. So All validity as a Bible teacher has gone away with Jason Miller because I don't eat chili.
Oh, my goodness.
But, no, it is very exciting event for this Saturday night. We're raising funds for Bethel Christian Academy. It's our 19th annual chili cook-off. Wow. It is the first one that's direct benefit of Bethel Christian Academy. But we want to invite you to come out. It's going to be a great time. They're a lot of fun. I think we've got some games and activities coming for the kiddos. We've got a live auction and a silent auction. And for more than anything to that night, I just love being with everybody. Anytime you get 200, 300 people in a room together,
yep.
and there's laughter and there's joy and there's coming, I haven't seen you forever. Or maybe you're a family in the school that, you know, maybe your kids don't play sports, so don't feel like you're connected. A lot of times sports connects families.
Yeah, right.
But maybe your kids don't. This is a wonderful opportunity for you to come and meet the other families of the body of Christ.
Amen.
Maybe, and let me just say this, maybe you're interested in Christian education and you just kind of want to see what the atmosphere's like and what, you know, the joy of living and serving Christ is, and we want to invite you out, you know.
That's right.
You know, if you're seeking for God to move in an amazing way, or you need something, or you just need to gather with the body of Christ, maybe you're going through a rough time, or maybe you don't have money for that entrance fee, hey, you come and you find me, and I'll make sure you get in that room.
Amen.
Because I want you to fellowship with the body of Christ, because if you're hurting, you're broken, maybe this is a wonderful time. Because what the enemy does in depression is get you in isolation, because when he's in isolation, the devil will wreak havoc on your mind.
That's right.
So maybe if you're just going through a tough season, if you're going through a hard season, and you just need to get with the body of Christ, come find me. I'll get you in.
Yeah.
Josh will pay for you. Get in there. It's wonderful.
Right.
Yep. No, I'm just kidding.
No,
but,
it's fine.
But I mean that.
Yeah,
that if you're struggling, if you're having a rough time, maybe you're battling some depression, and you just need to get around the body of Christ, and you really don't know a body you can go to, or you don't know a church, and some reason you're just listening this morning, come out Saturday night.
Amen.
It's a wonderful time, and we would love to see you. You'll be my special guest that night. And so I'll even give you some chili. I'll give you my chili.
That's what I was going to say.
That's how much I love you. I'll give you my
Such
chili.
Such a sacrifice.
Yeah, I'll give you my chili.
And not forget too, this is the 43rd anniversary of BCA.
It's 43rd year.
43rd year.
My goodness.
Whew. Man. Yeah.
That's about as old as you, right?
That's about as old as me. I knew you was going to say that, Hannah.
Yeah.
My goodness.
Well, I only know that because you're the same age as my mom.
Just call your mom old.
Oh, man.
Oh, Miss Regina, I'm sorry if you're listening.
Wait, but now, were you born in 81? Or 80?
I was born in 81.
She was, too.
But she was born in February. I think her and Jeremy was born in February, uh-huh. Then I was born in August.
You're born later.
So they're a little bit older.
So they're your elder.
I am wondering, though, I guess... It just now was the 43rd anniversary this beginning of the school year.
Yeah.
So she's not 43 yet. She'll be 43 in February, right?
No, she's 43.
She's already 43.
She's already 43.
And you just turned 43.
I just turned 43.
Okay, that's right. That's right.
Yeah. I'm sorry, Regina, but sorry, Jeremy. But y'all are older than I am.
Y'all just
okay,
told.
They embrace it. You know, they're like, we don't claim. We don't look our age. But.
Greg Carwell said, come out for the peanut butter sandwiches, if not for the chili.
Oh,
I like
yeah.
it. We will have peanut butter.
There you
or
go,
for
Brother
the desserts,
Greg.
For
That's
the
it.
Auction.
Yeah.
Sometimes they put dessert in the auction.
Yep, they sure do.
We do have a couple of desserts.
Normally, my granny's fried apple pies are a pretty big hit for the auction during that time. So.
Yeah, one time, Heather wanted me to bid on them, and I quit a little too early. And, you know, and then the problem was, it's not that I quit too early. It's that I quit too early on them, but I went farther in something else that she didn't even really want. And she said, you went that high with that, but you didn't get that fried apple pie. And so, but I know there are several desserts going to be in the auction this year, and we got some other items that are coming in, and we've had some other things donated. Got some really cool, beautiful pictures, and just some random items here and there, and we're really thankful for everybody that donated in. So,
Brother Greg just said, I was born in 1980. He said, so wait till you get my age. I'm waiting on Brother Greg. That's right. I know you're older than I am, brother.
Look, this is the one thing I notice about getting older. Each year does matter.
That's right. So he's one of them that could tell me back when I was your age, Josh, here's how it was back in the day when I was your age, right?
Like, this is one thing I'm sure of about getting older. You find new muscles every year, and you find new places that could hurt you didn't know even was there.
Well, I can attest to that in the last month. I can promise you that. So.
Yeah. You're thinking, I didn't even know there was something there.
That's right. Lord, you ain't had these hurts in a while. You almost think you're in the place where you think, oh, my goodness, what's going on, man?
Yeah. I didn't even know my toes could hurt like that.
Oh, my goodness. But, yep. Because I had a battle with my back here a few weeks ago for a couple weeks, man. I was like, goodness, I didn't know what was going on. So, but anyway, I'm thankful that I'm so much better now, that's for sure. So.
That's all right. I was spinning Sunday morning during my sermon. I got so dizzy I had to stop him. Because I was talking about going around the mountain, and I was like doing, I actually started to spin, and then I look up and I go, whoa. Remind me never to spin again.
Yeah, I guarantee
it. Try to think about what you're saying next whenever the room is spinning. It did not work well.
Oh, man.
All right, Romans.
Now, before Romans, whenever... I just learned today that there was actually a reason that Aaron would say the ninja demon slaying.
Oh, yeah.
Never knew there was a story behind that. I thought he just made that up.
Well, what happened?
I'm not that smart.
I wore a shirt that somebody got me a couple years ago, and it was Brother Kenny and Sister Linda there at the church. He gave actually Brother Billy one a few years ago that said pastor, but mine said assistant pastor. And it said because. Demon slaying, devil stomping, this is not a job title, but assistant pastor is. Yeah. So I forgot it says. I still got it. I may
this
have to
whole
show
time because I guess that happened before I came on here,
okay.
and so y'all were already talking about it. I just thought it was I didn't know there was a story behind.
I mean,
it,
the thing is like the whole length of the shirt. I forgot what all it says, but anyway, it says because. Those things ain't an official job title, so.
That's funny.
Well.
But then Aaron added chicken wing.
Yeah, he added.
Oh, no. All right, so that was just truth. I mean, there was a season
there was a small season there that might have been true, okay?
All right, there was a season there where Josh was an actively pursued homecoming speaker.
Oh, my goodness. I preached one homecoming. He
was actively pursued. And I try to get him and Jason to become a power duo.
Yeah.
And Jason could lead worship and Josh could preach.
Oh, I remember that.
That's right.
But then I started to feel bad about that because Jason can't sing and Josh can actually preach. So I don't
know. Well, maybe that meant you put us two together because you knew Jason can't sing and you knew that really – I don't even know if Josh can preach.
Oh, no, I always told you, I love you preaching. I love you preaching. And I said, I started to feel bad because then it was like a bad shot at Josh unintentionally. I just thought they'd be great together because they both love fried chicken. So that's kind of where I was at. But, you know.
Then he knew if we both sang together, we'd really be bad. Because for real, I tell him all the time, I say, yeah, they're at Madrid. If I ever go and start singing, I'm probably out.
Yeah.
Just pull the mic away.
That's right.
Yeah.
The funny thing about pulling the mic away, of course, in our church, you know, your voice carries, you know
that's
what I'm saying?
True.
And I'm loud. I'm loud anyway. Y'all know me. Well, anyway, so Maddie's friend that was with her Sunday morning, she looked at Maddie and said, your dad don't even need a mic.
Nope.
Because a lot of time you'll have it in your hand and I'll just have it like that or I'll throw my hands up and I'll keep going or whatever. They said, I can't tell when he's speaking in the mic or when he ain't speaking in the mic.
Yeah. You need an earpiece, Josh.
Huh?
You need an earpiece.
Well, we tried that here a while back, but it must have been a bad one or something because we did not
I
get to
finally
work,
got mine reset Sunday morning. It's back to where I worked hard on it trying to get it. But if you ever want one, I'll come set it up for you.
All right.
We'll get it EQ'd out.
We are getting ready to get a couple new microphones because we got a couple new ladies that are, well, a newer. Near one that is joining our worship team, so we're excited for that.
Yeah.
So, anyway,
don't
so
you love it when it's growing?
Yeah, I do, brother. I do.
Yeah, so. Yeah. If you're out there and you love the Lord and you love to play and you're an electric guitarist, come find me. they had a lead guitarist there last night, the River.
Yeah.
My goodness, man, he was good. Yeah. Well, We got 3 minutes.
Here we go, man. It's Tuesday, of course. Of course it's Tuesday.
Romans chapter 8, verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Well, okay, that's it. That's all we got time for. Again, you have to... We really aren't going to be able to get too much in there. But,
there's no way.
But I do want to say, you know, yesterday we talked about Romans 7, talking about, and actually I went to lunch with Brother Josh Newton yesterday. He called me and asked me if I want to meet in town, go to lunch with him. So I said, absolutely, I'll come. But we were talking about what we were talking about in Romans 7 yesterday, and I had a couple other people bring it up. Because it's talking to one of the scriptures that hit people the most is what was supposed to bring you life actually brought you death. Talking of the law, because the law was supposed to bring you life. But Paul said, actually what it did is it brought me death because it revealed to me my sinful nature. It revealed to me just how much sinfulness I had. And he who said he has no sin, he is a liar, according to 1 John. And so Paul's talking about this waging of the war between him. And he's saying, with my mind, I serve the law of Christ, but with my flesh, I serve the law of sin. So he's talking about this conflicting war that's kind of coming in. But then Paul goes into, wretched man that I am, in verse 24, who will deliver me from the body of death? Now, this is in 24 why I believe Romans 7 is Paul writing of himself at this moment, not when he was before he was a Christian. I'm saying before, at the moment he is right now, he's saying, oh, wretched man that I am. Does that mean that he's a hopeless, helpless sinner? Absolutely not, because he's getting ready to... You don't understand Romans 8 until you first understand what he come from in Romans 7.
Right.
You have to... This is why contextualization is so important, and you can't read stuff in isolation. You got to see what's above it, below it, around it, in it, all these things. You got to study the Bible faithfully. And he says, thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, I myself serve the law of God in my mind, but with my flesh I serve the law of sin. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, for the law of spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. So he's saying, there is therefore now no condemnation. Like, and he's talking about, like, he's not saying you can't help it, it's okay, don't worry about it. Like, that's not what he's saying.
Right.
He's saying... There is therefore no condemnation. Like, stop putting yourself under. Stop beating yourself up. Stop walking in guilt and shame and begin to take upon yourself the spirit of life, the new way of the spirit. Step into the Holy Spirit. Walk in the Spirit of God. Walk in it. Give yourself. This is parallel to what he's saying. You've got to crucify the flesh. So every day he's telling you, wake up and crucify that flesh that follows the law of the death and the spirit and walk in the Holy Spirit that gives you life and life more abundantly. Yeah. It is our decision to make every single day. We're not bound to sin. See, prior to this, you were bound to sin because you had a sinful nature and you had no choice but to sin.
Right.
Sinfulness was you because you were sinful by nature. That's what Ephesians 2 tells us. By nature, we were sons of disobedient ones. By nature... Nature, who we are, we were sinful. But now Paul tells us in Romans 6, we're dead to sin and alive in Christ. We've been baptized into his death, burial, and resurrection. And so he's saying, now walk in the Spirit. And if you parallel with other parts of the New Testament, he's saying, crucify the flesh.
Yeah.
So every day we have a responsibility and an opportunity to crucify the flesh and to walk in the Spirit. God doesn't do that for us. It's our responsibility to walk in the Spirit and crucify the flesh. Mm-hmm. You cannot cast out the flesh and crucify a demon. You cast out the demon and you crucify the flesh. And so what we have a lot is people trying to cast off the flesh. Well, the flesh is our responsibility to crucify because Christ has already done his part to free us from the bondage of it. Right. It's not bound to it no more. We are able to overcome. Why? Because he overcame. And I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. It would be very convenient if the Lord just looks down from heaven, takes his sword, and kills our flesh. But that is not the way this walk with Christ works. He's commissioned us to crucify the flesh, and he's actually commissioning us to walk in the Spirit.
Yeah, amen.
It's our responsibility. Sorry, go ahead.
No, you're all right, man. You're hitting it wide open. That's great. I mean, because I like also that here, and we see in 1 Corinthians, I think it's 1:29, it says that no flesh should glory in his presence. Mm-hmm. And I mean, I think that so many people are bound. Some people can't get past the fact of, like, when you get the Lord, everything you've done in the past is gone. Mm-hmm. Maybe people bring it up. See, I know somebody now that goes to church there, and I mean, it's almost like, oh, they go to your church? Yeah, they used to. I said, they used to. I said, have you met the new one? I said, no, how is it? I said, man, it's awesome. Mm-hmm. I said, ain't worry about what he used to do. Yeah, he probably done this, probably done that, but I said, do you know the new one?
Yeah.
Let me tell you about the new one. You always want to tell me about the old one, but let me tell you about the new one.
Yeah.
Amen.
Hello, and I mean, it's just for the simple fact of knowing that now that I can stand up for some people that says, hey, I don't know about, well, let me tell you about the new one now.
Yeah.
So.
Tell them Bartimaeus ain't blind no more and Thomas ain't doubting no more.
That's right. Thomas ain't doubting no more. That's right.
But, you know, and even if you talk about what you were just talking about, what we were talking about, it's a continuing cleansing too.
Yes, yes.
And he has cleansed me, but right. He is cleansing me. And if I'm going to, one of these days I'm going to start 1 Peter. I don't know okay. when I am. Every time I go to start it, I preach something else on a Sunday morning. But in that, he talks about the chosen elect, and then he goes into 4 things. And I won't get into the 4 things. When I get to teach it, I will. But one of those is the sprinkling of the blood. Now, in the Old Testament, there's 3 times that they sprinkle with blood. And we are over time, but I don't care. All right. The first time they sprinkled blood was whenever the Mount Sinai and Moses got the law. They come down. After he gave them the law, what did they do? Sprinkle them with blood. So then the other time they were sprinkled with blood in the Old Testament was whenever the priest would be consecrated or set apart for the priesthood. They would sprinkle the priest with the blood. The third time is when a leopard was healed or cleansed or whatever like that, they would sprinkle him with blood to show that he was cleansed and he was okay to keep coming back into the crowd. And he was cleansed. He's not gonna hurt you. You're separating, you're marking him as somebody who's continually clean, not somebody who just got clean and you're still over here by yourself. No, he's continually clean. And I believe what the Lord is showing in that, in 1 Peter, is that, like, hey, we're cleansed. And he's going to continue to sprinkle us. It's not that he needs to put more blood on us. It's that the blood is continually washing us. The blood right. is continually making us whole. That's where the therefore no, now there is no condemnation, because 1 John said, if we sin, we have an advocate with the Father. So it's not saying you have to sin. He's saying if you do, though, there is no condemnation because we have an advocate with the Father. And so he's saying this cleansing is continuously as long as we continue to walk in his spirit and to surrender ourselves to him and give ourselves to him and stay under that, the blood of Jesus. And so here, I just believe that Paul is saying, look, there is this war in you.
Yeah.
And if I would be a horrible Bible teacher and a bad pastor to look out on the people and say, once you get born again, everything's great and you don't have to fight, you don't have to worry, you don't have to do this, you're going to be perfect in all your ways. That is a lie, that is deception and manipulation, because when you get born again, all hell will come against you, all fight will come up against you, the devil will rage war, but greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. But one thing we don't say is, yes, the sinful nature has been defeated. Yes, you have been made whole. Yes, you are a new creature, but you better believe with every ounce of fiber in your body that old man's going to rise up. He wants to fight. He wants to come back. The flesh wants to come back. The world will hit you. The temptations will come. The fiery darts. If all these things were not prevalent, we wouldn't have spiritual warfare. We wouldn't have to dress in the armor of God. The whole armor of God is to prevent the old man and the wiles of the devil to come back on you.
Wow.
And so, yes, we must crucify that old man. But Paul's telling us in the process of crucifying the old man, he says, there is therefore now no condemnation of those who walk in the Spirit. So as long as we stay in the Spirit of God and walking with him and staying in Christ Jesus and not leaving Christ Jesus, there is therefore now no condemnation. And he's saying, but walk in the Spirit.
Glory.
He's never do what you want. It's never, yeah, because there's no condemnation, you sin and do whatever you want, and you're just rocketing fire. Everything's going to be great regardless if you live holy or not. No, there is a commission to live holy. We have been born again, Ephesians 2:10, unto good works. And so absolutely we're called to live holy. But you better not live under condemnation either, because Paul tells us here, there is therefore now no condemnation. Because what condemnation does, condemnation and conviction are radically different. Condemnation produces literally the weight of hell over your body, and you're thinking, am I even saved? Am I even this? Am I even that? No, that's condemnation. That's what the devil wants to do, because it literally wants to push you and hold you back. Conviction's the invitation for greater living. And so there's a big difference there between condemnation, and Jesus himself said, I did not come into the world to condemn it, but to save it.
Amen.
So, Lord. I'm feeling really preachy. Y'all better take this mic away from me. Right. I may just have to shut up today.
You're doing it, brother. You're doing great.
No, y'all gonna have to take over this board. I'm just.
That's the problem. That's what I don't know what to do. I may know how to speak into a mic, but I don't know how to take over that board in there.
Well,
I'm
going to leave myself muted. All right. Tuesday question number one, sponsored by the Sicilian Bank. Who was known as a rod out of the stem of Jesse? Who is known as a rod out of the stem of Jesse? 270-257-2689. We will be right back here after the break on Mornings of Box 2 Radio on the Hallelujah.
That was a setup now, wasn't it?
I did that. 7:30. 7:30.
Yeah, buddy.
Sunday mornings.
Yep. I'll be on this Sunday. Brother Billy was last Sunday, so.
You know what? Brother Josh will be on this Sunday. He comes in live.
That's
Brother
right.
Billy and him come in live on Sunday mornings at 7:30 with Light of the Gospel, right?
Yep, that's it. Light of the Gospel program.
All righty.
Okay. She probably doesn't want me to read this, but, oh, did somebody get the trivia?
They did.
Okay, yep. Go ahead.
Go ahead. No, well,
go ahead and announce it.
Who was known as a rod out of the stem of Jesse? Jesus.
Yeah.
Isaiah 11:1-5. I know Jesus is the answer. It's a failsafe.
Jesus is the
He's
answer.
Always the answer.
Yeah, that's right.
But Elizabeth, Miss Elizabeth, she takes it in and said, man, I want to answer this so bad, but I've already got my name in there twice, so I'm not going to.
Well, Miss Sierra Higdon, she got it right on text messages, but unfortunately we can't take text messages.
Man, oh man.
But I love the excitement around the trivia.
I love it.
So
who got it?
Oh, Greg Carwall.
Okay.
Good.
Now,
Greg.
Gary Cox got it right, too, but he was just a little bit behind.
Man. Good job, Brother Greg. Greg.
But, see, Greg has to save all his excitement for the other days of the week.
Because
when
right.
he's here, we don't let him do it.
Yep.
Even though he wants to.
I guarantee it. So
thank you to Gary and Miss Sierra, Miss Elizabeth, all those who was reaching out and knew the answer as well. Greg, congratulations getting your name in today.
That's got to be the second time for Greg.
This whole week is Greg.
Hey, that's a good thing.
But it is good. It is good. At least we're the shared coming for the peanut butter group. All right, me and Greg's in that same boat.
Well, we should have known after his Reese knowledge.
Yep, that's it. That's right.
Yeah,
he's a peanut butter sandwich lover.
And just so everybody know, I did bring a gingerbread man for breakfast this morning. It was terrific.
You did. Yeah. I missed that. I think I was out. I guess I missed that.
You mean bring you one next time?
Well, sure, if you want to. I ain't going to pass up no food. I probably need to, but I won't want to.
Oh, man.
All right, Hannah, take us into the kingdom corner for the morning.
Okay. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5, in the New King James, close to the King James. So therefore I remind you to stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and a sound mind. Therefore do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner. But share with me in the sufferings for the gospel according to the power of God. And, of course, this is one of my favorite scriptures I have to remind myself of a lot, and the Holy Spirit will as well. And it's a very well-known scripture about that God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and of a sound mind. But what the Lord has shown me is not to negate these scriptures, not to forsake these scriptures that are more well-known, because there's truth in those that are there to help us along, because fear is one of the biggest things that I believe has gripped the body of Christ in the last so long, especially with COVID that woke us up to that. We saw that, but we've been seeing it even before that, and even now afterwards, after all of those things died down, that there's just a fear, there's a spirit of fear all across the world of even if you trace it back to, 9/11 and before that with terrorist attacks and rumors of wars and actual wars. And There's just this fear, and I think it goes along also with that spirit of Hamas that's in the world, the violent spirit. Because where there's violence and where there's terror, there's going to be fear. And it's always been there, though, because we look back to, you know, Jezebel and Ahab and Elijah. We look at that story. We look at just all throughout the Bible. You know, Pastor Aaron was preaching on Gideon and the Israelites, the state that they were in when they were being oppressed, and the Lord allowed the Midianites to come against them. And so we see this all throughout Scripture. But Paul's reminding Timothy here that to stir up the gifts that God has given, the gifts that are inside of you. And he talks about doing that through the laying on of hands. But he goes on to talk about that now, just like we talked about earlier, now that we are a new creation, now that we don't have that old man anymore, we are not gripped by fear anymore. Before we were changed, before we were filled with the Holy Ghost, we might have been gripped by it. We actually might have been gripped and bound by fear. But as people in the body of Christ, we're not bound by it anymore.
That's right.
So, and I'm not, I know that things are real. There's seasons that it might feel like we're surrounded by fear and we are bound by it. And maybe even condemnation, this fear and condemnation go along with each other because, it just feels like everything, like something is coming at you from all sides and you don't know how you're going to make it out. But that's why we have to stir up the gift that's in us. We have to stir up the gift of faith. We have to stir up the gift of power, the power that was instilled in us by the Holy Spirit. And even spiritual gifts. I mean, even our prayer language. I think that
that's
our
right.
prayer language
Amen.
Is powerful. And maybe if someone doesn't have a prayer language, just stirring up that prayer life, that stirring up your prayer life that you do have with the Lord, and he will take you deeper and give you, you know, download more. But there's just so much in stirring up those gifts because they can really start to get buried underneath fear, underneath all of these things in our life that start to come back and pile back up on us whenever we start to backslide or whenever we just stand still. Because I do believe there's sometimes we're not really backsliding, but we're standing still.
Come on.
We're standing
That's
stagnant.
Right. That's it.
And when that happens, I believe things start to pile on top of us. And things start to clutter up around us, and we're not cleaning the house. We're letting things fill the house back
Come
up.
On.
And what does that scripture say? You know, the house that is not filled, you know, those things are going to come back seven times more. And so we have to fill. We first got to make sure we don't clutter it back up.
Come
but
on
then
now.
we have to make sure that these spiritual gifts that it's talking about here, that's what we're filling up. That's what's going to fill us up when we're filling ourselves up with the Word, when we're filling ourselves up with prayer and time in His presence. And then these gifts are what's going to fill us up. And we're going to be just exploding with joy, exploding with fruit of the Spirit and all of those things. And I believe that's what He's talking about here. And then that will help us to not be ashamed of the testimony.
Right.
That's what's going to help us get stirred up and bold again. And boldness is the opposite of fear. I mean,
that's right.
If we're ignoring fear and walking in the Spirit and conquering fear, then we're going to have boldness. It's just an automatic. We're going to have boldness of the Holy Spirit. Look at David and Goliath. Look at just all throughout Scripture, the boldness that comes upon us when the Holy Spirit is empowering us. And now, I mean, the Holy Spirit's dwelling in us, so how much more boldness should we have than the ones who the Spirit was just coming upon
Come
them
on.
For a certain time? But all of that to say, you know, there will be sufferings. We talked about that earlier. I've been thinking a lot about that, about spiritual warfare. And as there is a shift going on right now, there's also the enemy knows. He senses. He doesn't know the extent of what the Lord's going to do, but he senses when there's a shift because
right.
there starts to be a stirring in the body, and there starts to be people on fire.
Come on.
And so he starts to throw things too. And I think that's just part of stirring up those gifts. I think it's part of remembering that we have peace always, and that fear is not ours. Fear is not for us.
That's right.
And I think sometimes we're not honest with ourselves that we are battling fear and we're allowing ourselves to keep walking in it. But taking that step in my own life is what that just that step of faith and being obedient to the Holy Spirit, as Aaron was talking about, that's what helps move us into that place of boldness and out of that place of hiding and fear. We have to take the first step. The Lord will help us. He'll give us the strength to take another step, but we have to take that first step out of the cave, out of hiding, out of isolation, out of that place of stagnant, you know, standing still. And that's what's going to help us advance on the enemy. Well, advance in the kingdom in general. Sure. So,
amen. You know, that power there, Sister Hannah, it's a word, 14:11, and you're strong. It's like dunamis.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? It's like,
I love that word.
I remember Brother Ron always talk about, that's like, don't you think that's where they got the word dynamite from?
Yeah.
So, you know, but it's something that, you know, and I believe that actually, and also if you read on about it, it's miraculous power. You know, it's a power that really does something.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Everybody in this world can, you know, everybody likes to have power to do this, power to do that, lift this much, lift what, you know, but this is a miraculous power that anything inside of our flesh is not going to be able to happen, but he's giving you the spirit of that. He's giving you, he ain't giving you the spirit of fear where you got a doubt, mm-hmm. but he's giving you the spirit of power, and I'm thankful for power that works in his people.
Me
you know,
too.
So I mean,
it makes me think of times where, and I've heard testimonies. I love to see people that are like naturally more, their flesh is more shy, or not, you know, more backwards. They're not going to be the one to volunteer to pray or to step out.
She's talking about me.
Yeah, right.
Well, apparently that was you. Like when you're a teenager, I couldn't believe it, but it's pretty awesome testimony. But like to see somebody who has said like, I know that was God, like God helped me do that, and I just felt him just speaking through me, like that's what I'm living for, even in my own life. The times where I have been like, I don't really show it as much on the outside always, but sometimes I'm really scared on the inside. I get scared to do stuff, or just I just get scared. But whenever the Holy Spirit rises up inside, it starts bubbling up inside of you and just starts speaking or praising or praying, whatever it is, you know when it's him. And that's where we need to be, is where it's no longer us, it's him. He's rising up in us and through us. And so that's what I love to hear. I love to see. I know in your prayer life, you can definitely tell when you're just letting the Spirit, you're really praying in the Spirit, because you're not having to fight to get the words out. It's just flowing out.
Amen.
And it feels so awesome because you're resting in him and you're one. And so
that's right. Now, I mean, it's about like you said, when somebody is so shy and you know it's the Lord, when the Lord tells them to do something, right?
Yeah.
Because they wouldn't do nothing. So in school, you were shy. Is that correct?
Oh, well, okay. Well, all right. It was.
Did I miss something there? Is what I'm going
to
make sure.
When it came to speaking.
Yeah, in school, I hated public speaking.
Well, I mean, I feel as if I'm a guy that is not shy, but I'll be honest with you, I did not like public speaking.
Yeah,
either.
I wasn't like shy, like, you know, in the sense I wouldn't talk to people and stuff like that. But if you took me in front of a crowd, I remember like trying to talk at my golf banquet one year, and I just cried because of like I don't think I cried from emotion. I cried because I was petrified. Wow. And I would like take an F on an oral presentation because when I got up there, I would stutter and I couldn't even get a sentence out. Like it was awful. And so I just kind of stuck to a lot of people thought it was arrogance. It was really insecurity. And I just kind of stuck to myself because I was so insecure on who liked me, who didn't like me. So, I was definitely a different kid. I was not the life of the party by no means, and still not the life of the party. I'm the one that tries to sit on the couch and go take a nap. It was any public speaking that I'm doing,
right?
And I do it for, you know, a lot now.
Yeah,
it's to the Lord, because it was not my game plan.
That's right. Well, I mean, that's so good. That's awesome. But I mean, when she was just talking about the power of God and talking about how when people speak, you know that certain people listen. because you know it's the Lord speaking into them. I often say, my wife and, you know, me and Rachel, I feel as if the Lord just put us together and we're together forever because, I mean, here I am so boastful and so, you know, I'm loud and I'm all these things, but Rachel, she's just so quiet and you can't even get her to talk hardly. But it's like when she does speak at church, it's like everybody's like,
listens.
They listen. Yeah. They listen.
Yeah.
I mean, because they know that she's not going to speak nothing just in her own. It's got to be the Lord speaking through her if she's going to say something. So,
yeah.
I mean, that's just.
Yeah. I've preached 3 years worth of sermons and nobody remembers any of them, but the one time my wife spake, everybody remembers what she said. 3 years worth of sermons and nobody can tell you anything I said.
Oh, my goodness.
Because the Lord uses those who are, you know, stay quiet a lot. The interrupting the normal really gets people's attention.
Right, right. Yeah.
Of like, oh, like it gets people's attention that normally wouldn't be listening.
Yeah. Well, I remember, I mean, I don't know, you know, when you guys, of course, Hannah, you could probably attest to this, but when you're there worshiping the Lord, you know, you're worshiping the Lord, you're doing what you do, you know what I'm saying? But when everybody else is worshiping, it makes it like everybody's engaged in it. It makes it feel so much like the Lord's really doing something. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Like empowering the people.
There's
there.
There's unity.
But when you don't see people being activated by Him to do praise the Lord and things like that, it's like, you know. So I remember one time that really, I mean, maybe me also, but I guess we wasn't. Rachel played a song or something that really touched her, and well, everybody else was just like, just sitting there. Like a lot of people just sat down and things like that. So I remember her saying, of course, hope not many Madrid folks may be listening right now. I don't know. But she said, if y'all can't praise the Lord here, y'all ain't going to like heaven, apparently, because you're going to be a whole lot of praising in heaven.
We hear that a lot from Pastor Aaron.
I don't know where they hear it from.
Well, at least they hear it. We hear it everywhere there. But
it's true. It is true. And I'm right there with it. There's always that tendency as you're like leading worship or even just like a part of a worship team.
Yeah.
And you just are in a place where you can see everybody. Like, I try not to focus too much.
Right.
Because it will interrupt. Like,
yeah, and I can see
but,
how that
but
would
I
be.
Do, I have to sometimes, you know, I'm praying as well as worshiping and like, you know, I want to see God move in people's lives. And there's always a tendency to start like kind of preaching at people or like, I don't know, kind of being like, hello, like wake up, praise the Lord. What? There's always that tendency. And I do think that there's sometimes that God allows us to do that because, I mean, if, you know, He's given, especially for, you know, pastors, but I think even worship leaders too, like the platform to be able to lift His name up and call people to worship too.
Yeah.
So,
But I mean, there's been times though I felt as if, Brother Aaron, I don't know if you, I believe you've done this where you just asked everybody to stand, everybody raised their hands or something like that. And I say that as a pastor, I say, well, you know, I say that as a pastor because I want them to know that want the activation of the Holy Ghost. I say, but listen, I don't want you to get in a place where you always got to have somebody to tell you what to do.
Yeah.
I said, just do it.
Yeah. Well, sometimes too, I mean, I've done that just because I know there's some people out there that you could tell they're wanting to worship. But when you really start to worship the first time or two, it is nerve-wracking. Like, the first time you lift your hands, like, there's no condemnation here. It is like everybody's going to look at me. They're going to think, oh, did I put a deodorant? All these things. So when sometimes just when everybody does it together, it's easier. And then once you get once you realize that everybody's not looking at you because everybody else got their hands up worshiping now.
Yeah.
But
especially ones who are not used to the types of churches that we go to.
Yeah.
But I will say too, like, and I'm not generally, which people might not believe this, because I think somehow like being on worship teams have like more boldness has came upon me as I've stepped more. But when I'm worshiping in a congregation, I'm generally not very exuberant, super exuberant. Whenever I've, you know, been worshiping with a body, that's just not my tendency. But let me tell you, the Lord is moving upon me. Like, I'm weeping. I do raise my hands sometimes. Like, I don't know what I do, honestly. But I do know that the Lord is reaching people even if they're not showing it outwardly.
Right.
You know, because I know that that's me. Like, a lot of times I'll just weep. I will just be weeping.
Right.
And then sometimes I'm not weeping, but I'm just soaking, you know. And I know that there's people who are getting it, and their hearts are, you know, their hearts are in worship, even if their hands aren't. So I try to pray for discernment on that too.
That's awesome.
Because I know that there's people that, you know, their body isn't showing it the whole time, but they're in it. Yeah. You know?
But let me just tell somebody out there, if you're snoring.
Snoring isn't worship, probably.
Oh, my goodness.
If you're snoring or you're making duck faces and on Snapchat, you're not worshiping.
Yeah. If you're on your – well, oh okay, goodness. I will say sometimes I get on my phone, my notes app to write down stuff the Lord's showing me.
Yeah.
But –
Does that involve a duck
nope.
selfie?
It involves, like, really zoned in here.
You know, I teased Brother Billy because a few years ago he said something about cell phones in church or whatever, because, you know, some people that bring their cell phone, yeah, they do bring it for their Bible app. You know, because I've got like three or four that I asked a few weeks ago. I said, all right, who uses their phone for their Bible here at church? And, I mean, I had three or four to raise their hand.
Me?
I mean, you do too, right?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I do.
Anyway, but I remember three, four years ago or so, Brother Billy, you know, there's some people bringing their phones, and I guess they were doing other things on phones. But he said, all right. He said, I would like, he excluded Brother Mike Henning, who he can't talk. So he asked him, he said, you can bring your phone, but everybody else, don't bring your phone. And, well, I don't know why, but I don't take my phone to church. But everybody else does. He just said it because, you know, but he wants us to be engaged in the service. You know what I'm saying? Because there was some people that might have been just playing on the phone instead of actually using their phone for the Bible. And so he looked at Brother Mike. He said, everybody but Brother Mike. You know, so then I said, that's why I don't bring my phone to church. He said, well, you're the only one that listened to me. I said, well, at least you had one to listen to you.
Well, so look what you are now.
But yeah, that's right. That's right. But anyway, so.
The one kid just sent me a duck face. I said, worshiping the Lord, see?
Oh, my God.
Oh, goodness.
Yeah. You know, now we're going to go to break, read our second trivia question. And then when we come back from the break, before we go morning manna, I want to resurrect something that's been dead for a little while.
Okay.
Over the Edge.
Oh, yeah.
I have a story that's over the edge. Yes. It's an over the edge story.
Love it.
And I'm going to bring it up after the break.
Yeah, bring it up.
All right. But I put this thing on Facebook yesterday about live streaming sermons. And I am actually really shocked how much comments I had immediately. Like, it was a really...
You had several, I'll be honest with you.
A lot.
I looked.
And it keeps growing. I still got them this morning, and they're still coming in overnight. And there was one that... There's one that's kind of like a little bit like I'm okay with it, but I don't like, you know, they don't really like it. But out of like 40 comments, about 39 of them are very positive and like, yes, yes, yes. But there was one your wife put on there, and I really liked it.
Wow.
Like, I just liked what she said. Now, I like that one. Now, my favorite comment is Miss Jeannie called me, and she said, I didn't want to write all this because I'm not good. I don't like to write it all out. But she goes, I may go to Peter's church, but I really want to know what Paul's saying too. And so she just says that's one of the best ways to do it. I said, I love that, Miss Jeannie. She goes, I may go to Peter's church, but I want to know what Paul's saying too. And I just love that. But your wife brought something up good. I do notice, even here at Bethel, because we don't do live stream.
Yeah.
A lot of people, a lot of times, do use their cell phones. We have people that will live stream. And I've seen it last week because a lot of people are capturing these moments of the move of the Spirit, not so much to broadcast them, but it's like, it's almost, I feel like sometimes it's a memorial stone. Like I want to have this moment. Like,
yeah.
Sometimes I go back to the moment that my mom captured of me being put in as a senior pastor, 'cause it reminds me, you know, so it's like a memorial stone.
Right.
And, but your wife said something, and I think it was really good. She goes, I think sometimes if a church does live stream with cameras, it prevents people from bringing out their cell phone 'cause they can remember it there. And they already have it.
Yeah.
And so, I don't know. That was a good comment. Like, I like that thought of, you know, you almost do a, because you were talking about the cell phone usage, and we have it here, too. Like,
yeah.
I've looked back on Sunday mornings, and not so much now, but at one time, there was people that were, like, playing games. Like,
right.
You can tell when they're playing games. They're not, they're pushing the Bible that much, then there's something wrong.
Yeah.
And then I've seen adults, not just kids, sitting in the back pew, sometimes making the duck face. Don't lie. I've seen it. I know there's been adults on Snapchat. I know it. And then you have your some crowd that's checking their fantasy football during the I know that person off the top of my head too. I see you. And so, but you know, you have all that.
Right.
But you know, I have seen too where people are sometimes videoing what's going on, and it like they're holding it up, and it's not bad. Like I'm not like it's cool. Like you do what you do. You, I'm not even putting condemnation if you're checking your fantasy football league. I mean, it don't bother me. I'm just going to keep doing the thing.
Yeah.
But it was a really good comment. I like that thought. There was actually several good comments throughout there.
Yes.
I was really, it was good to read all of them because I was just throwing that question out there for me personally on some things because we've had a lot of discussion about it here and some differencing of opinions and stuff like that. But I was like, well, let's just go right to the people and see what the people are saying and thinking. And it was really cool. Like I really enjoyed it. But there's some really good thoughtful comments in all of those. But I think the number one consensus across the board is the church has a responsibility to get the word out. And when you have the ability to reach mass crowds with the word of God, you know, why wouldn't you? And so that was kind of the mass consensus in a lot of areas. But
I'm reading the comments and I'm laughing.
Of that question. Yeah. If you've not chimed in yet, go to my Facebook page and chime in.
I just chimed in. See, this is the good and bad thing about phones is like when you get on something, you start to get distracted. Like I wasn't really listening to you all as much because I was reading the comments.
She had her phone. She wouldn't listen to it.
I know it.
I was, Brother Aaron.
But the live stream would help people to be more, you know, you'll know that it's all going to be on there. So you can just get on your phone after service.
Tuesday question number two.
Number two.
And then we're going to take a break and come back with resurrection of over the edge because I have a good story. When did the manna cease for the Israelites? When did the manna cease for the Israelites? We'll be right back here after the break on Mornings of Box 2 Radio on the Box 2 Radio Network. All right, we are back here on this wonderful morning that the Lord has made, October 22nd, 2020. We do not have an answer for that trivia question yet. Gary Cox texted in the right answer, but he didn't call it, Gary. So I know, he said he didn't want to be first. but we'll get back to that at the next break. We will open that up. So here we go. Over the edge. All right, we're resurrecting it for a minute. Now, in New Zealand, how's it, New Zealand? Is that what it's called? Zealand. All right, New Zealand. All right, I like that. New Zealand. there is an airport in this little small town. It's only about 135,000 people, so it's bigger than Litchfield, of course, but it's not huge. It's not an overly massive city, so they can't have that much traffic at the airport. There's an airport, and they put out a sign, and it says, max hugging time for farewells, 3 minutes. I love it. And they said, if hugging any longer than that, please report to the free parking area for a max hug time of 15 minutes.
You got to be kidding me.
No, I'm not.
So why did that one all of a sudden get your attention?
I don't know. It's just so stupid. It's just so dumb.
I mean, where did you even look at it? Where did you even see that?
It just popped up. I don't know. I don't know how else to say it. I'm not looking at AP news, all right? It's not a news thing I frequent, but I don't know if it popped up on Facebook or it popped up on something I'm looking at on another news thing, but it said max hugging time, 3 minutes.
Wow.
And
so that means if that's the rule, that means they got hugging police there.
That's what I said. His job isn't to go there.
Oh, there they go. Stop watching.
Stop watching. I mean, and who's the one that's going to, hey, I know you won't see your wife for 3 weeks, but that's enough hugging time. All right. That is enough hugging time.
Well, all I got to say is we can't let Heather Hodges go there. She'll be put to the other parking lot.
Now, another important question on this is this 3 minutes per hug or is this 3 minutes hugging time for the whole car?
That is going to make a difference.
That would make a big difference. If you only have 3 months for 3 minutes for your whole clan, I mean, you better go quickly, brother.
We just do a group hug.
They better not come into our church.
That's right. That's right.
My favorite part is they literally made a 15-minute free parking area for longer hugs.
Oh my goodness, funny. That's crazy. That is definitely over the edge.
Yeah, that definitely was.
Oh man.
But I don't know. I thought, well, that's a good one. Maybe we should put that like on our announcements that filter through. Like,
yeah.
We're gonna do a time of fellowshipping, but you're only allowed to hug each other for 3.5 seconds. There's nothing more than that. I did love what you said, Josh, because I thought the same thing. Like, who's the ones that enforces this? Like, do you just walk up and down the drop off area and start the timer?
They probably blow a whistle.
Yeah, that's it. They got a whistle. I wonder if they got a referee shirt or if they've got a when I think of a hug, I think of a bear. You know what I'm saying? Or if they got a bear suit or anything like that.
So they might have a little device where they like split them apart. Like they click the button and it like
this thing goes in there, then it separates.
It separates them.
I have a drone that flies over and sends an electrical shock.
Oh my goodness. Because, you know, you've seen the Jaws of Life, of course. It goes in there and it spreads things apart. Well, I guess it's what they got. Oh, my goodness. My
God. Greg says planes don't wait for nobody. Maybe they're just trying to get people to their
that's
plane.
Right, that's
maybe
right.
Maybe they were having people miss the
don't
plane
miss
because of
flight.
Hugs.
Oh, my goodness. Yep.
Oh, my God.
Well, there's another one, too.
Yeah, it's good. I think you need to bring it back.
All right.
It's all right.
Well, I got another one. There was a funeral home in Poland that had to issue a public apology for not the coffin, but a corpse that fell out in the middle of the road transporting.
Wow.
What do you do during that? Like, that is the first one was funny. This one's an over the edge.
Oh, my
in
goodness.
In another area, like, what would you do if you were watching a hearse fall, drive down the road, and it fell out?
I don't even know what to say about that, brother. I mean, but I know I've heard of things like that happening, but I hope that I never have to be a part of it, that's for sure.
Like, what do you, I don't know, like, what do you do?
What do you mean, what do you do? There's only one thing you can do. You got to stop. That's what you got to do, but I mean, things like that don't need to happen ever.
Do you have, like, one of those cover blankets that you put over them real quick or something like that?
I don't
know.
Probably.
You have to, man. I mean, I
wouldn't want to be the one helping load them back up, though.
Make you laugh, and then some over the edges go,
I know, this is
whoa.
Like, I mean, yeah. So, my goodness.
I'm not saying that on air, Greg.
Oh, my goodness.
There's no telling. Oh, my.
Oh, my gosh. Somebody didn't. I mean, first of all, how does it happen? Like, how does it happen? Doesn't a hearse lock in the back? Like, I think that actually, like, there's
a
special lock.
That, yeah.
So, somebody didn't do their job.
Yeah.
Oh, gosh, Marty, he asked what if the truck behind them runs over it. Like, I don't know. Like,
whoa, whoa, whoa.
That's a whole nother level. That's the hedge times 10.
Oh, my gosh.
Edge. I thought you were saying hedge, but it's that
it's movie. Over the edge.
I was all thinking right, about that now. Little kid movie.
Rachel has told me this, and I guess I didn't really want to say it, but I thought, well, if she texted me to, I guess again. She said, actually, she said they dropped my cousin's coffin out of the back of the hearse in Litchfield.
Oh, my gosh.
It was on a hill.
Oh,
that was going
no.
Uphill and it did fall out, but just the coffin fell out, so it didn't come open. I think it's, if I'm correct, I think it's the one across from the old stockyards there.
Yeah.
The one on the hill.
Uh-huh.
So they was going up the hill, and I guess when they opened the door, it just fell out on the ground. But it did not come open. But the coffin itself did fall on the
still.
Ground.
Still. Oh, my gosh.
Man, because she has told me that a few times when we pass by there. You know when you pass by certain places, it's almost like you'll hear the same story because, sometimes I remember not. And,
But you know there's some people – they would love that if their coffin fell out because it's just their personality to make people laugh and go, oh.
So you're saying if it was mine or yours, it'll probably give the joke. The joke's on y'all, right? Is that what you're telling me? Okay.
No, like my My memo.
That's so Aaron.
Yeah.
I know for a fact my memo Carol would have. She would have not cared if that happened with her. Like she.
No.
She would have thought it was the best prank in the history. Like she would have not cared.
Yeah. Pastor Harry always said he was going to record some stuff into a voice recorder and leave it in his coffin as people pass by.
Oh my goodness.
Wow. He's going to tell jokes even
there's
in his death.
Always, yeah. There's always those people.
Yeah.
But it just depends on who it is, but. I will say though, like in a small town, you're gonna be a lot better off, I think, with people getting around it. And but like if you were on like the interstate or I don't know, like the parkway or something, like somewhere in a busier or a busier city, that'd be
see. I don't know.
Bad.
I don't know if this funeral home in Poland, just a public apology, is enough. Like somebody really messed up
Man,
there.
Man, I know it.
But now let me ask you this serious question here.
Okay.
I don't think funerals are funny or anything. Now, some people would love that. Some people would love that if their coffin fell out of the...
I believe there is people
they would
out
be
there
like,
that
this
would.
Is the most epic way to go out. But what do you tell an insurance company if a coffin falls out of a hearse and hits your car?
I
how do you explain that to an insurance company?
I guarantee it, after that happened, there would be a clause in the insurance thing after that happened. You know what I'm saying? Because it seems like, I mean, even now, like we get something at our church or whatever that you have to select yes or no. Do you want terrorist insurance? And if you select no, you know what I'm saying? Then if your church is vandalized or due to terrorism, then they don't cover it. But it's an extra so much. You got to check this box and pay the, it's a small fee, but still yet it's a fee added on top of that. So they started that
because they hope people don't see it, and
exactly
they're not gonna have to cover
it. About 4 years ago, we started getting that in our church in our insurance policy, a letter with it that says terrorism insurance. So
wow.
Anyway, like I said, it's not much. I think it only adds like it either adds or takes away like $9 a month. Of course, it's a high $9 a year, but it's high anyway.
That should just
so
be
they
included.
Just put it, and it should be included. You're right. It should be. And now roofs, I think some insurance companies are now doing something about roofs because it seemed like everybody around here, it seemed like in the last little bit, had roof damage. It's like anything that, you know, it goes good, you know what I'm saying? They always put a clause in there that says, well, now you got to pay this much more in order to get this much. And it's just crazy. So,
yeah.
Go ahead. You was laughing there. I thought you was going to say something else.
No, nope. I'm not saying what Greg told me to say.
All right, then. Man, oh, man.
It's funny, but I don't
wisdom.
Know. I'm using wisdom.
Yeah.
Wisdom.
Glory. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Amen.
See,
amen.
Some over the edges, they're funny. Like, yeah. I just want to, like, do you have a vest that says hugging police or something like that? Like, hugging enforcer?
No, that would be funny.
Like, that was funny. But then you got the other ones over the edges that are like,
yeah.
I don't even know how to process that. Like,
of course, Brother Aaron, you, I think I remember saying this on the radio. It's been a year, I guess, when I first started, but talk about police and talk about a security guard.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I remember Kevin Kuiper.
He was our best security guard.
And Wesley Wilson.
Come on now.
And my Uncle Eugene.
Okay.
They had security, a outfit that they wore up here around the church when I was a kid. And they would be our security.
Kevin
Kuiper had a security. And I think in one of my yearbooks, his picture's in our yearbook.
As a security
and he's got
guard?
And he's got
oh
his
outfit. Oh, my gosh. Can you
on.
Please find that?
I'll
That's
try
funny.
My best to find it. I'm telling you, I know it's in there.
He was if Bethel somebody, Barney Fife.
He was. Him and Wesley
but
Wilson.
But we didn't give him one bullet either.
And of course, I know you don't remember that name probably, do you? Wesley Wilson?
No. Okay. But I know Kevin.
Are you related?
And you remember Eugene?
I have heard of Eugene.
Okay, that's
and
course,
I think
Granny's,
I've heard of the Wesley
Granny's brother.
Yes, yes.
You know, but anyway, Wesley Wilson. When I was a kid, we had church in where this our old gym. Okay, but as a kid, I remember them taking up the offering. Okay, and they would go in the back, and everybody that we had six people in the back. And if you're from one of the OGs, if you're from Bethel from like
oh,
years
geez.
Ago, and you remember this, you can confirm it to Brother Aaron. But they would not take it up front until Wesley Wilson would take his hand and somehow point toward the front. And that was the motion for everybody to get up front. But anyway, so when you said talk about security guards here at Bethel, I think of them three.
Yeah.
Kevin, Wesley, and Eugene.
We better be careful saying the words security guards at Bethel.
That's right. Maybe I need to. Well, they wasn't really security guards, all right?
No, I did have an idea, though, for the hugging police vest. I think it would be funny to show up, like, at the prom or something.
Yeah.
Like an event for the teenagers with the hugging police.
Well,
this New Zealand airport.
We have just now currently lost everybody that was listening.
No, we still got people. They're now all commenting on my Facebook post about video. That's what they're all doing now.
Oh, yeah, were we going to talk about that?
Oh.
Or no, you were just mentioning it.
Yeah, we just mentioned it. But, well, we have plenty of time, though, because we don't have a guest this morning. So
that's right.
We got plenty of time for everything. But I had to bring back the Over the Edge because those two were... One, they were radically different. One makes you go, oh, wow. And another one makes you laugh.
Yeah, right.
But
right.
That's Over the Edge. That's Over the Edge.
It's almost one of them things when you said that one, me and Hannah didn't know what to say, and there was like dead space there for a minute. What do I need to say here?
It's over. It's over the edge, though. That's right. I couldn't imagine. Like, I don't know. I couldn't imagine it. But I know there are some people that if their coffin fell out of the hearse and went down the highway, they would think it's the coolest thing in the world.
Yep.
They've been like, that's the way to go right there. Make a statement on your way out.
Right. But then the thing is, we'll just be so worried about Jesus, we won't even.
That's right.
You're
that's
so
right.
concerned about him. We won't even be able to know.
All righty. Well, let's see here. Let's
you
go
do manna for a minute?
Well, I was going to take a break and then do manna's come back. So you don't have to feel rushed in it.
That's fine.
At work?
At work.
All right. We still have a second trivia question of the day. In what city was Naomi welcomed after her return from... Oh, no, that's the wrong question. When did the manna cease for the Israelites? When did the manna cease for the Israelites? 270-257-2689. We'll be right back.
Yo. And so hopefully you've enjoyed this morning. I've got something going in my ear, brother. So... I don't know if it was going over there. I don't think it was going
is
over there.
Shambach?
That was Shambach.
Dead? He ain't dead.
I've heard that one several times, and I'm getting ready to get excited there. So, we're so glad you've come back. And I know we got 30 more minutes, Anna, to wrap up this 2 hours. It's been a great couple hours here, I'm telling you right this morning.
Amen.
So we're going to get into some manna this morning here, morning manna. This is something that I try to every Monday. I think I've missed a couple in the last couple of years, but most time every Monday I put out a little something. So this is a morning manna here. 2 Timothy 2:19. Nevertheless, the foundations of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. And let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. There's nothing like a foundation that you know will never fail. The foundation of God is one that has stood the test of time since the beginning. If we try to build upon another foundation, then we know it's going to fail. It may last for a short season, but it's going to eventually crumble. The Lord knows who is of him, and he gives to them the seal. Your faith and commitment to God is the way to name the name of your God. The ones who continue to depart from iniquity, which is sin, the Lord imparts unto them the seal of knowing who exactly he is. I want to be sealed until the day of redemption. Be strong, stay strong, and we strong. You know, so many times, anything that keeps, you got to seal it. You know, and I know we just come from this past summer. Most time during the summertime, what do people do? They can. Like vegetables, anything out of the garden, they seal it. Mm-hmm. But there's always a certain thing they look for. They hear the seal, the pop in the top there. That's when you know that it is sealed correctly, all right? But then oftentimes it don't take long, if it's not sealed correctly, to see a discoloration in that vegetable or whatever they do seal. If it's not sealed correctly, it ain't going to be long and people will start to notice.
Yeah.
And see, I think that's many times also within people's life with Christ, that if we're not sealed correctly, then people are going to notice.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times I love it when people notice that if we're not sealed correctly, then also the most important thing is when people see that you aren't sealed the right way. Because, mm-hmm. I mean, I told them here at church this past Sunday, I love when I'm out and about and I just see somebody and I don't even really, I know of them, and I know them, I'll say hi or something, but then somebody will say, man, this one person that's going to your church, boy, they are on fire for the Lord, ain't they? And it ain't nothing, I mean, as a pastor, as their pastor and mentor or whatever, it ain't nothing even more, you know, encouraging than to see that right there. That, see, I don't just see them doing it at church, but I also see them doing it where I'm trying to prepare them for it.
Yeah.
And so just so many people are now, I believe, in a place of where I even put out a challenge to them here a couple weeks ago. I said, listen, this week, and I don't know if, I think one person got back with me, but I said, this week, I just want you to, all of a sudden, wherever you're at, if you're at work, if you go to Walmart or wherever, I want you to pray for somebody that just go up to them and say, hey, can I pray for you? You know, because I think that is very critical for us to make sure that, I believe, is we need to encourage one another. We need to push one another. Why do we push one another to be that? Because we know greater is he that is in us than he that's in the world.
Amen.
And he's empowered us, just like he was talking about power a while ago. He's given us that power of a sound mind. He's given that power to do the work. And therefore, I believe his people will do it. And I'm thankful that they are doing it. And I'm thankful that there's areas in, you know, all across this region right now that are really engaging in knowing Jesus more by praying, by, you know, doing great things, you know, and even now. I love this past Saturday night where we was able to come down and be with you guys in prayer, and just, you know, it wasn't no specific thing that we had to do, no really schedule we had to follow, just to hearing the worship and just praising the Lord. You know, I just start to fall on my knees and just say, it's me and you, Lord. And
yeah.
I'm thankful for people that see the need for prayer and actually getting together as a body more than ever before.
Amen. Yeah, like you talked about being sealed, and I think it's really good to look at like a picture of what you're talking about. I love pictures and illustrations because it helps make things more real. But I thought about when something's not sealed, like it might be halfway sealed, or maybe the seal is broken or whatever it is, when it's not sealed correctly, like you're talking about, it gives the opportunity for things to get in that
Come
aren't
on.
Supposed to be there.
That's good.
So if there's an opening, then things can start getting in and mixing with that, and just things that aren't supposed to be there. Or the other side of it, it could spill out.
Right.
The things that are supposed to be in there could drain out and spill out and be wasted. And I thought about that. And, you know, when talking about, you know, cracks in the foundation, you know, I think about that too, you know, being sealed up. And ready and secure in our relationship with Christ, and so that things don't get in there that aren't supposed to be there. And that's how, and it reminds me of the armor of God, you know,
Amen.
Being sealed, having that armor of God on where nothing can get in there that's not supposed to be there.
Yeah.
And then even that scripture, you know, talked about the foundation.
Right.
Having that foundation, the seal. I really like that. And I agree that, you know, right now, more than ever, I think we have to have that foundation in order to, like, that's the reason why maybe in the past we aren't going out and putting legs to our prayers and, you know, taking action is whenever our foundation isn't sealed up and strong.
Yep.
Because it doesn't, you know, there's always going to be that fear. There's going to be desires split on other things, and whenever our foundation is secure and we know who we are, we know whose we are,
Amen.
And we have a vision for our life, we have motivation, then we're gonna go, because we're gonna be like, well, this is what we're made to do. And you know, I've actually listened to several people talking about this, but I was listening to a podcast by Jeannie Allen, and she was talking about how the Lord, she always prays each season of her podcast what the Lord wants them to talk about. And it changes, you know, the Lord will give different things for each time based on what people need to hear. And so this time the Lord put on her heart to talk about spiritual warfare.
Wow.
And she said she really didn't want to talk about that because the way that she sees that is if she's teaching about spiritual warfare, then that's putting kind of a target on her for the enemy, you know, to be experiencing more spiritual warfare than usual. And so, like, she didn't really want to, but, she was obedient, and she said, you know, she knows with you know, the Lord and the his armor, he's going to protect no matter what comes her way.
Right.
You know, but anyways, all that to say, she was talking about how right now in the body of Christ, she's seeing more unity than ever before among different churches, different Christians that before would never really work together to come and do projects or to build for the kingdom. They would never really work together, but she's starting to see people work together more. And in her own life, she's starting to see, like, she's starting to focus more on not wanting to waste time, wanting to really be purposeful with her time and intentional with her time because the days are short.
Yeah.
And that was her whole thing, was like, because of the times being like Bible prophecy is playing out right in front of us. That's what the Lord's really been showing her. And she said, I've never been one to study the end times a whole lot or talk a whole lot on it. She said, everything that I know about eschatology is from the Bible. I don't listen to a whole lot of teaching on it. I don't do a whole lot of teaching on it. But she said, the Lord's really just been laying it on my heart to be awake and aware of these things that really are playing out right in front of us.
Yeah.
And not to be scared, but more to wake me up,
right.
Like to stir me and keep me awake. Amen. And keep me motivated to do the things that I'm called to do. And she said, you know, that's what I hope that this is going to do for everyone who listens, and that the people that are hearing God speak this, that these are the time, like these are the end times of these things playing out. And we've heard that it's the end times for a long time, and who knows, how it might be a lot longer. Jesus's return might be a lot longer than we think, but we can't deny the things that are playing out in front of us.
Right.
And we're definitely a lot closer,
yes,
than we used to be.
For sure.
Regardless. And so it's crazy times, but it's exciting times.
Yeah.
And I think that can be the thing, you know, seeing Bible prophecy play out should be the thing for us to get our legs moving, like you were saying, and actually see ourselves activated to go pray with people.
Yeah.
And to go to spread the gospel. Because
right.
That's something she was talking about too, was right now the biggest thing that I feel the Lord, you know, putting on his church is evangelism, is spreading the word and seeing souls harvested, because like we don't know the day or the hour.
Amen.
What if we keep having the mindset that, oh well, we still have this many years, and then, you know, it says he'll come like a thief in the night.
That's right.
When no one expects.
That's right.
So, you know, just staying on alert and on that mission of, and it's so easy. I that's another thing, you know, another scripture that plays out when it talks about the love of many will grow cold or wax cold, and how there will be a great falling away, and there will, you know, talking about the sleepers, and even in the garden, you know, when the disciples keep falling asleep, and
yeah,
and Jesus is like, can you not stay awake one more hour? And I think about all of that, and I think about my own flesh and how it's so easy if I'm not on guard and I'm not intentional about like staying on guard, that it's so easy to fall asleep.
Right.
I mean,
right.
It is so easy to just get caught up in what's going on.
Yeah.
And that's my greatest fear, is not like bad fear, but like fear of the Lord, is like being caught up in my own life or what's going on around me and missing him.
Wow.
Or not really necessarily, I mean, I'm secure in my salvation, not necessarily
right.
getting left behind, but I guess missing what he's doing as exactly. a believer, as a yep. believer, as someone who, you know, is secure in your salvation, missing out on what he's doing in the last days.
Right.
You know, and then, but I mean, it does, it says to the believers and everyone to persevere till the end.
That's right.
So, I mean, that includes me too. That
yeah.
includes all of us, to be awake and not caught up in our, and I believe the true ones of us won't be caught up, you know, if we're truly his, then we won't be caught up in our own
Amen.
Lives. We will be on guard
right.
when it gets to be that time. But, you know, you just don't want to I guess the fact that we're even thinking about it is a good sign.
Yes, that is. That's
because
for sure.
It shows that we're feeling, you know, we're understanding and we're hearing the Lord speak this. We're taking it seriously. But I guess it's easy to get, I guess, for the people who aren't doing what you were talking about your church members doing as far as, like, putting feet to the prayers and
right.
putting action to it. It's very common. It's the easy thing to do, to just keep going with the flow, keep going with the motion in the motions, and not staying on guard
right.
and not taking that step of faith.
Yeah.
And but what I keep trying to remind myself, and what I keep hearing people of God speak, the Holy Spirit speak through them, is this is the time more than ever to wake up.
Yes, definitely.
And to do those things, to go and ask people for prayer. It's not just because we're trying to work on the church, but the whole reason we're trying to grow is for the people that are lost and dying. And that's what's scary, is when we start to lose focus on that. Because I can even remember, you know, as a kid, or, you know, as a newer believer, you're so thankful that the Lord saved you from hell.
Yeah.
You're so, like, hyper-focused on, you want everybody else to not be in hell and to
yes.
know Jesus. But it's like somehow along the way of being with Jesus longer and longer and longer, that, like, that passion, that realness of the people all around
yep.
you are dying and going to hell every single day starts to kind of get less and less on
Come
your
on.
Mind. I mean, I'm just being real
most
of us. Unless we are listening to the Lord, keeping our mind on the truth of what, you know, reading not just the feel-good parts of Scripture that make us feel good or that we like, but reading everything,
right.
the whole Bible. Because that's what's wrong, I think, with the fact that we have so many different denominations is literally picking and choosing sometimes what parts
wow.
of the Bible
yeah.
we want to pay attention to, and then ignoring the parts that we don't need to ignore because we don't like it,
right.
you know. But I feel like I'm ranting a little bit now too, but I am thankful. I'm thankful for churches like Madre. I'm thankful for churches that are listening to what the Lord's saying and doing it. Not just hearing it, but doing it.
Amen.
And that's where we got to get to.
Right. And I think it's very critical too, for you talk about the new sometimes wearing off or whatever, but I think that's why that every day that we live, we go back to the newness of life. Because every day that He's able to give us fresh bread, every day He's able to give us manna.
Amen.
He's able to give us something new. And I'm thankful that we can go to Him. And it's just, it also says those that endure to the end,
mm-hmm.
the same shall be saved. You know, I'm thankful that it is an endurance thing. It's something that, you know, that He wants to make sure there's commitment from these people to follow Him in whatever way. And if we follow Him, I believe we will be led by His voice.
Amen.
And what it, you know, what it is. And so I want to make sure that everybody knows that as close as you think this one is or that one is, that's exactly what you can be, and even more.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Jesus even said, greater works can you do
yep.
because of why I go to my Father. Even though He was the Father, we understand that Jesus said that.
Uh-huh.
The creator of this universe, the voice that spoke these things into existence, is the voice that said greater things that you can do. Because why? He loves us that much.
Amen.
I mean, I know I got a great mother and father and mom and dad, and you know, they instilled into me, and they inspired me. And it's like they want so much more for me even than what they do, because I'm their child. And I can see that now that I got my kid also, Maddie, and I want so much more for her than what I had. Because
mm-hmm.
of why? Because I want her to know that, listen, there's so much more for you, and you can tap into that, that you don't have to do it necessarily how we've done it. But still yet, thing about it is, there's so much more that actually in the spiritual realm of it and knowing Him, that you need to know more than what I knew at your age. Why?
Yeah.
Because, you know, I'll just be real with you right now, probably temptations in our schools are even greater now
mm-hmm.
than they've ever been. You know, whether it be a Christian school, because, you know, I went here at Bethel, and I know, but still yet from time to time, there was things that come up, that would tempt you and just try to get you to do this or that. But I'm thankful that the Lord empowers us to get past those things. And I always say that at church, listen, why do you want to be one of the ones that always gives into this or gives into that? Why not, like, even 20 or 30 years from now, be one of the ones that people thought, man, I wish I was one of the ones that did not give into that. Mm-hmm. And be the ones that are different than everybody else. Because actually, the word calls us to come out from among them and be separate. And I want to separate myself with anything that is of this world. Because I'm not, I'm in this world, but I'm not of it. You know, I'm living here and I'm, you know, doing the things that the Lord has called me to do. And see, I'm not here to do things that the Lord has called you to do. I'm here to do things that the Lord has called me to do. And I'm thankful that for such a time as this, that we have been called and we have been chosen.
Amen.
You know, he didn't have to, but he did. He didn't have to, but he did. And I'm thankful that he did. And I'm thankful for every time that you listen right now. I mean, I may not know some of you guys that are listening right now, but just to know there is some people listening to us right now. I mean, that is a boost in my life right now because of why? Because we're on the radio, and, you know, if people didn't listen or people didn't give, we wouldn't be able to do what we're doing right now. But I'm thankful that people are doing that, and I'm thankful that I'm a part of what the kingdom of God is doing right here through this radio station. But guess what? I'm doing everything else as well. So I'm thankful for each and every time that we come together. So, I mean, it's just a great time in the presence of the Lord that no matter where I go, that if I worship Jesus, I can feel freedom in that place. Just like when I, you know, when I go visit another church, if they're worshiping the Lord, then I want to worship with them. I want to be with them because I know it's the whole body of Christ and he's coming after a bride, a remnant that have made themselves ready in adoration to him. You don't want to be like him.
And that's what we're calling. That's what we hope every person listening right now, if you feel drawn, if you feel the Lord really speaking to you, you can be ready today.
Yeah, that's right.
I mean, you can, if you haven't started that journey with the Lord, you can surrender. You can accept him into your life as Lord, not just Savior, but Lord. I think Pastor Aaron was talking about that this Sunday. Is he just your Savior or is he your Lord?
That's right.
Too.
Come on now. That's good.
And so you can accept that this can be the day, but even if you are, you know, you are born again, but maybe you're feeling drawn by this. I mean, it's time. Like this is why we're here. 'Cause for the Lord's word to get out, to reach whoever is ready, whoever is open to hear it, and it will not return void.
That's right.
And so I'm thankful for this radio too, that I think I forget sometimes just how much it's impacting the kingdom.
Yeah.
Because of, it's just a tool. His word is getting out. His spirit is moving things out through. We don't even know who. We don't even That's know right. all the ears.
Yeah.
So.
And I mean, a while ago, you used to talk about how some, I think the disciples and things like that, or people that have fallen asleep, or people that, I forgot exactly how you worded it a while ago, but it made me, watch with me 1 hour. That's what you were saying. And I think it's very critical here if we look at this. Most of the time when Jesus went a little bit farther, he would take with him Peter, James, and John. Mm-hmm. And so sometimes people say, well, I have the disciples. There was three there that seemed like that went a little bit farther. Mm-hmm. All right. So we have people probably listening to us right now that seems like they're going a little bit farther, you know, because they know that they want more of Jesus. They want more of him. But still yet, the ones that went a little bit farther with Jesus are actually some of the same ones that fell asleep on him.
Yeah.
You know, the ones that so-called were so close to him and were right there, but still yet they had moments in their life of where they fell short. Mm-hmm. And so even when they seen Jesus walking on the water and said, Lord, if that be you, bid me to come. He bid Peter to come. And I believe there's a time there where Peter was walking, but then he began to get his focus and his attention off of Jesus and began to sink. And he said, and he would often tell his people, he would often tell them, you know, talk about how they was all of so little faith. So little faith. But I believe, why was he telling them they had little faith? Is because he wanted them to build up so much more faith.
Yeah.
See, a lot of times, you know, even a coach, I think of a coach sometimes, even though your team is doing good, even though maybe you're doing this well, you're doing this good, maybe you're even winning by big time, you're going to win the game. But still yet, when the coach is coaching you, he's going to expose everything that you should be doing that you're not doing because you could be up so much more. Mm-hmm. And I believe that we get in a state of time maybe where we think ourselves happy or we pat ourselves on the back. But really, it's not a time to do that. Even though I've got great people that, I can pat, you know, Brother Aaron on the back, I can pat you on the back and say, you're doing a great job. But see, that's to inspire you to do, that's inspire us all. Hey, there's so much more that we can be doing with what the Lord has allowed us to have, the tools and the resources, you know, to use. You always talking about, you know, even as he was speaking about the live streaming and things like that. I mean, he's given us so many more tools to use for our availability if we want to use them. And there's always a right way to use it. And then, again, there's a wrong way to use it. Everybody says, talk about Facebook, or they talk about TikTok, or they talk about even your phone, games. But, I mean, that's in anything, really. There's good ways to use it. There's bad ways to use it. Just like the tools that we've been having for all of our life. There's good and bad in about everything you do. But I'm glad in the kingdom of God, guess what? All great things in the kingdom of God. And that's where I want to stay at.
Amen.
Because if I stay in the kingdom of God, then he'll allow me to have whatever he would want me to do. Because I believe if it really should not be done, he'll make a way where it won't happen.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, I'm thankful that if we do it for all the glory of God, then I believe then it will happen.
Amen.
So, but no, amen. It's just, you know, it's a matter of us knowing and us understanding. You know, even this past Sunday night, I was talking about Transfiguration. You know, when he was on the Mount of Transfiguration. And, I mean, he wanted them to see him take upon all of it, everything that was in the past, come together to him, and then what was going to be from that moment on. See, when he, you know, even when the disciples said, let us build three tabernacles, one for this. But no, Jesus said, I am. Even from the beginning, I am. And I'm thankful that he is the beginning, he is the end, he's Alpha, he's Omega.
Yeah.
And I'm thankful that even throughout Revelation, talk about studying Revelation things. I remember we was in a Revelation study here for a couple of years there, it seemed like, with Sister Karen. And it just seemed like in Revelation, if you really study it, it actually takes you all throughout Scripture, all throughout. And I know Daniel's one of them, Isaiah's one of them, the prophets of old, but still yet all throughout Scripture, Revelation wraps it all up into that, and then it all becomes alive into the people. And I think it's very important, you know, I think about those churches. Probably there's been times in our life where each one of them churches had something wrong. See what I'm saying? But they was doing many things right, but still had that one wrong thing. I don't want to get to where a place in my life of where I'm so close to the Lord, but then all of a sudden he says, well, you done all those right, but what about this?
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I want him to expose those things, because I know as close as we are to the Lord, there's still opportunities for us to fall asleep.
Yeah. Sometimes whenever the Lord's speaking to me, and I don't know about you all, but sometimes, you know, a lot of people talk about the Lord being gentle and, like, sweet and things like that, and there's times for that, but a lot of times with me, like, it's pointing out those things,
yeah,
like what you're talking about,
right.
Like, often pointing out things that I need to work on.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, it's just refreshing to hear that, too, and just to think back in the Word of really how Jesus talked to his disciples and how he dealt with them.
Right.
Because he really wasn't patting them on the back.
That's right.
Much.
Yeah. Exactly.
I mean, if we're honest, like he had hard conversations with them, but it was always out of the intention of them growing.
Yeah.
But then he had moments where he's like, go get Peter. Like,
yeah.
I mean,
right.
And he cared. I mean, you could tell he cared for them so much, but the way that he saw, he knew that there was more, so he would point out those things.
Yeah, even Peter, he kept on telling the Lord, said, you know I love you, Lord. And he probably, as we've always said, Brother Aaron, or I have, I know me and Brother Billy, we preached and said, listen, the Lord just didn't turn around there and say, I love you, Peter. But he just told him, feed my lambs. Then he said, feed my sheep. He said, more or less, if you really love me, here's what you'll do.
Yeah.
So I believe that if we really love him, that's exactly what we'll do.
Yeah.
And I think that we have people that are doing that.
Mm-hmm.
And you see the love of God through life. Why? Because we are feeding one another with Scripture and the things that are of him.
Yeah.
And not things that are not of him.
Yeah. And whenever he's stretching us and growing us and maturing us and knocking the rough edges out, we always got to remember the kingdom of God is peace, joy, and righteousness in the Holy Ghost.
Come on.
And anything that's attacking that in our life, he will attack with a vengeance, because it will steal and it will rob, and the enemy and the enemy will come in, the cankerworm will eat, and all these things will happen. It's not that he's trying to oppress you. He's trying to liberate you so you can live free. Because when you got sin and when you got things in your own heart and you got things attacking you, it steals joy, peace, and righteousness. And the kingdom of God is joy, peace, and righteousness in the Holy Ghost. And so what is aggressively pursuing you, he will aggressively pursue, not to oppress you, but to liberate you.
Right.
And so that's what holiness, it's liberation, it's freedom. Mm-hmm. And it's not freedom to sin, it's freedom from sin and freedom from the condemnation, consequence, and results of sin. And so that anxiety and depression and sickness and chaos and disorder and all that is not yours, but peace, joy, and righteousness in the Holy Ghost
is. Right. And I mean, the enemy tries to take everything that's most important to us. That's what the enemy would love to take away. Because if they take away the most important thing, therefore, I mean, even in my life, the most important thing is Jesus. But in this world, you know what I'm saying? You've got your family. I mean, I got a little grandson now. I got those. So if even in a good way, even me spending time with my family that I love, my grandson or things like that, I'm using this as a for example. Because even if the enemy can get us so captivated and so in tune and so to the point of where, oh, I can't wait to be with it. I can't wait and spend all my time with everything else, not saying that it ain't good. But if he takes away the time you need to be spending with him, and you think, oh, I'm doing good, I'm helping this one, I'm helping that one, I'm helping all these people, but at the end of the day, am I doing anything for Jesus? Am I reading about him? Am I praying? Am I studying? What am I doing for him? And I want to make sure that I'm always doing something for him, for sure.
Well, good morning. A little word of advice. If you eat an Oreo that's 5 months expired, it tastes okay when you eat it, but the aftertaste is horrible.
I guess you accidentally done that.
Well, it wasn't an accident. I knew it was expired, but I was hungry. and so the initial taste wasn't bad.
Yeah.
But this aftertaste, I think that cream's got some kick in it. All right.
That's why I believe it says best if used by. It may not say expired, but it says best if used by.
That's a good point. It did say best if used. Right. Best if ate by. Yeah. The initial taste was fine, but this aftertaste is not. It's not cutting it for me.
It's like, is it? It might be permissible, but is it profitable?
Yeah, there you go. This is definitely not profitable. but no, it is really good to be with you guys. It has been a great morning. Love you guys so much. Please make plans to come out and be with us Saturday night here at the 19th annual Chili Cook-Off in benefit of Bethel Christian Academy tomorrow night. If you got nowhere to go, make sure you're making plans to go to the house of the Lord. If you have nowhere else to go, come see us Thursday night. Pastor Josh and Madrid has service there at 6 o'clock.
6:30.
6:30.
We got 6 o'clock prayer meeting tonight.
6 o'clock prayer meeting tonight. And so a lot of open doors, a lot of avenues to worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords.
Amen.
Pastor Josh, thank you as always. Miss Hannah, thank you as always. We love you guys. I'm going to go get this Oreo aftertaste out of my mouth. To God be the glory. Teach the Bible to some teenagers. We love you. We bless you. In Jesus' mighty name, have a great and prosperous day in the Spirit of God.